Good morning. Happy 4th of July weekend to everyone. So good to see all of you. Will you now join me for the Trinity Liturgy? Welcome home. And why are we here? To worship God. Please prepare your hearts and your minds as we worship God together.
Good morning. Stand with us as we sing God of the Ages.
Now for the affirmation of faith. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered unto Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. is seated at the right hand of the Father and will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Before we have the sacrament of baptism, I want to mention two things. One is, you can see that the carpet has been pulled out and the hearing loop has been put in. If you happen to have this certain hearing aid that's mentioned on the front of the bulletin, it'll probably work for you today. And we got half the new carpet down, and lots of people said, is that the old carpet or the new carpet? It looks a lot like the old by design. We're really glad to have that, and then we'll finish it out this week. Also, the baptism now gives me the opportunity to do what I'm so thrilled and excited to do, is to formally welcome Elizabeth Jones as the new Director of Children's Ministry. Elizabeth, stand and let us greet you and say thank you for being here. And yeah, very excited about Elizabeth being here. Let me see now. Elizabeth, I'm going to give you this microphone. Boy, it's good to have you back. Yeah.
Great to be home. We'd like to welcome Simi on her special day. It's her baptism, and our mom, Dara. This is Simi Estelle Cohen.
Good. Come on up, Dara. Welcome. Nice to have you both here. And is that a special ballet picture? Do you do ballet? Would you like to dance with me up here? No? Nice to see you. And welcome. And Dara, do you acknowledge Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Do you promise as God gives you strength and help to be a good example for your daughter, Simi? And will you rear her under the ministry and guidance of the church and our wonderful Christian children's education program so that she can come to this wonderful relationship with God? Good. Let me pray over the water. God, we give you thanks for this gift, this time together, and for the water of life, this sacrament, expression of your grace. Bless Simi, bless this water, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And it's Simi Estelle Cohen. Simi Estelle Cohen, I baptize you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. And may God's blessings be with you always. Amen. God bless you. Will you walk up here with me? Oh, here. This is Simi Estelle Cohen. Would you welcome her? Nice to see you. These folks out there want to say these words to you. We welcome you into our family of faith with God's help. We will support you with active love, Christian education and nurturing, and opportunities to express your faith and mission. May God bless you always. Amen. God bless you. Thank you, Simi. Thank you, Dara. God bless you all. Yeah. David.
Are you here with me now for a brief moment of prayer as Janet plays softly? Oh, loving God, how great is your love that you've lavished on us that we should be called children of God. God, we thank you for a privilege and an honor, and we thank you for the joy of receiving Simi into our family. We understand that through baptism we've become a part of your family. And God, we thank you for all of the benefits and the blessings, O Lord, that you pour upon us, O Lord, as your sons and daughters. God, we come to you now thanking you and praising you and honoring you for this great day. Thank you for the weather, and thank you again for the refreshing, calm rains that you sent last week and the week before. And God, thank you for this great church, all of the families that make up this church. We thank you, O God, that we get to come here just to pause and to bow our heads and our hearts before you, O Lord, in humility and worship and service and honor unto you. God, we pray for all of the ministries that make up this church, that you will call our ministers to flourish all the more. We pray for those who are sick and ill and in the hospitals, who are in need of a special touch of your grace. Pray also for my wife, Courtney, who's have a stomach flu virus, that you'll just give her the strength that she needs to go on, oh Father. And God, be with Dan as this morning he will minister the word of God like never before. No, God, the prayer that you taught your disciples to pray, we pray it now together on one accord. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who've trespassed against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever we pray. Amen. Please prepare your hearts and your minds now for a video of meditation.
Will you stand with me as we continue to honor God and our country?
Where my father died, and of the pain.
come. And Rick, would you come and have a seat right here? And Brian? Brian's got a quick announcement about a great Sunday school class.
Thank you. Good morning.
Good morning.
Just wanted to spend an opportunity to tell you about some exciting things going on with the adult ministries, just like with the children's ministry, a foundation ministry going on here at church. But if you're not in adult Sunday school, I encourage you to get in one. The Companions in Christ class, which meets at 11 o'clock following this service in room 232, is going to be starting to serve a new study called the Sinai Code. It's going to be a six-week study, so it'll take us right up to the beginning of the new year, the new school year here in Gainesville. The exciting thing about this study is it's going to look at the Ten Commandments and take us all the way through not only the historical aspects of it, but how they apply today, all the way up to where Jesus proclaims the two greatest commandments of love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, and soul, and to love your neighbor as yourself, and connecting all those together. So if you have questions, please come find me, or if you want correct answers, ask my wife. And we'll see you at 11 o'clock in room 232.
Thank you, Brian. That starts next week?
Next week.
Next Sunday. Good. And Rick LaFave, Trinity's had a long relationship with Gainesville Community Ministries. That's our mission box today. Rick's an integral part of that. Rick, tell us a bit about that.
Thank you, Dr. Dan. Good morning. And on behalf of GCM and Michael Wright, our executive director, it's a pleasure to be back here again. I want to start out by saying that this church has a special place and a special relationship with GCM. You've been an integral part of what we've been doing for so many years, and it's hard to believe we're getting close to 50 years that GCM has been around and helping in the community. What I wanted to do today was just to bring a few things that are new to your attention that you may not be aware of. Many of you know that we have a number of different medical clinics, and one of our first clinics was our dental clinic. And we have been pleased to be able to add to that a new dentist who's coming in and will be making dentures. And this might not sound like a lot to a lot of people, but when you're faced with loss of a lot of teeth and you're looking to improve your life and improve your prospects for getting employment, dentures can be extremely critical. So we're really pleased to see that happening. Another thing that I wanted to highlight for you was a program that we started 2 years ago. It's a Bible-based program that's 16 years old called Jobs for Life. My wife, who is the director of education, is in charge of that, and I'm one of the instructors for that class. And we teach that class with biblical perspectives to people who are underemployed and unemployed, who need skills to get jobs and to hold those jobs. And the skills they need aren't training in becoming a carpenter or an electrician, but the basic skills about how to approach a job, how to get to work on time, how to have respect for your employer, and so on and so forth. And one of the things that I'm going to be asking you all for today is not the usual thing that you normally hear. I always have trouble asking for support. Your support is ongoing and continuous. But what we need today more than anything else is personal support, volunteers, help with some of our programs, especially the Job for Life program. And we need that in three areas. First, we need people who are willing to be mentors, to be partners, to be champions with our participants. These are people who walk side by side with these folks and help them to learn these skills and become friends to them. This is an incredibly important job, and if you're interested in that, I'd like to talk to you more about that. Secondly, we need employers in the community who are willing to share some of their information about what they're looking for in employees. They come into an employer's roundtable and they speak to these folks and answer questions and give them the real truth about what it is they want on behalf of employees in their jobs. And the third are employers who, when they understand the quality of people that we turn out, people who will have a heart for doing a job and doing it well, will be considering these folks for employment because they will be heads and shoulders above anywhere else. So once again, on behalf of Gainesville Community Ministry, thank you so much for everything you do. Thank you for your continuous contributions to us, and thank you for allowing me to be here today. Thank you.
Rick. Yeah, appreciate it. Tomorrow we leave for Ohio, and on Wednesday, July 4th, there's going to be a gathering of our family and extended family, something we haven't done in years, for the July 4th picnic up there. So I wonder if you'd stand and turn to somebody you didn't come to church with and share what you're going to be doing on July 4th. Greet the people around you, would you? Welcome them.
Glad you're here.
Bless you. You may be seated. Will you bow your heads with me now for a brief moment of prayer? Gracious God, we thank you so much for today's offering. We ask your blessing upon it. And God, we also pray for Gainesville Community Ministries, that you would bless them to continue to reach all of Gainesville. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Glory, glory, hallelujah.
Wow, that was great. It was nice to hear Bill Sabas say it's nice to have two additional voices join us. And it's nice that one of them knew how to sing. every day of my life, well, let me read the scripture. You know, I grew up on a farm, and you've heard too many farm stories, but you're going to hear one more today. James chapter 5, verses 7 and 8. Be patient then, brothers and sisters, until the Lord's coming. See how the farmer waits for the land to yield its valuable crop, patiently waiting for the autumn and spring rains. You too be patient and stand firm because the Lord's coming is near. Title of the sermon today is How Not to Take Things for Granted. It's going to be a sermon to just remind you of things you already know about not taking things, people, for granted. Something so easy to do. Almost every day of my life, in my growing up years, weekdays, when school wasn't in session, we would come in from the field right at noon, or from playing ball, playing basketball, from the barn, whatever. But we came right at noon because we always ate dinner. That's what we did it. That's what we called it back then. Dinner at noon. It was a big deal for Dad. I don't know quite why. Well, maybe it's because of what I'm going to tell you now. And at 12:14, he would pull the radio over near the table and turn it on. And at 12:15, we would hear these words. Hello, Americans. This is Paul Harvey. Stand by for news. How many of you have never heard that? How many of you have never heard that? Oh. All right. You just heard it right now. Most of you know Paul Harvey of another era. I don't know. What a great guy. And a lot of farmers liked him. A lot of people liked him. His take on the news, that sort of thing. And one of you a number of months ago sent me a video with his voice, So God Made a Farmer. And the video is a couple minutes long. We're going to show it in a few minutes. But ever since I got that video 6, 8, 10 months ago, I've been trying to find an occasion to use it. And since I couldn't find the occasion, you're going to see it today. No. You know what? There's two reasons to do this. One is, it's human nature to take a lot of stuff for granted. One of the things we tend to take for granted is the food we eat. You go into the grocery store, Ward's or Publix.
And on the 8th.
Wait a minute, Paul. You go into Publix and you see this vast array of food. The marvelous dairy products, fruits and vegetables, the meats. And if you're not careful, you can grow up never connecting the dots that there was a farmer who planted that crop. There were farmers who milked those cows. There were migrant workers who picked those strawberries and the beans and the grapes and on and on and on. And to go down the list of we could just live our lives taking so much for granted. Or how it gets to market. Time magazine, just yesterday I was reading. They talked about the value of the freight trains to the economy, that they're the true engines of this economy. Who knew? The only time you think of freight trains is when they stop your traffic and you get mad at them. They haul enormous amounts of freight. Next time that happens, pause and say thank you for the freight trains. And you'd think in this town that we live in, we wouldn't be inclined to take all of that for granted. The people who keep the bugs and the damage of the bugs in check. In this town where we have a land-grant institution, and somebody after the first service reminded me that tomorrow will be the 150th anniversary of Abraham Lincoln signing the Morrill Act, which created land-grant institutions all around this country in 1862, middle of the Civil War, land-grant institute. The other thing is, indulge me in this, if you will. This is a nostalgic time for me. We're going back to Ohio. We used to go back every summer when Mom and Dad were alive. We had our big gathering. Since Mom and Dad passed, we haven't gone back as much. It's been a long time since Jen and I both been back. We're going to visit the log cabin. So we're really grateful Dad took this old log cabin that his grandfather was born in. Probably was built in the 1860s. Came into disrepair. And Dad, like lots of farmers, had a way of rebuilding things. Just like our rebuilding class here. And that's what Trinity's about, rebuilding lives. We're going to check about maybe adding a bathroom and kitchen to that log cabin. And so we'll see how that goes. I hope that's good. But at any rate, so this video is So God Made a Farmer. It'll help us hopefully appreciate where our food comes from. It's a throwback. It's nostalgic. Just indulge me, would you? Let's watch that now, if you would, Jay.
And on the eighth day, God looked down on his planned paradise and said, I need a caretaker. So God made a farmer. God said, I need somebody willing to get up before dawn, milk cows, work all day in the fields, milk cows again, eat supper, then go to town and stay past midnight at a meeting of the school board. So God made a farmer. I need somebody with arms strong enough to wrestle a calf and yet gentle enough to deliver his own grandchild. Somebody to call hogs, tame cantankerous machinery, come home hungry, have to wait lunch until his wife's done feeding visiting ladies, then tell the ladies to be sure and come back real soon and mean it. So God made a farmer. God said, I need somebody willing to sit up all night with a newborn colt and watch it die and dry his eyes and say, maybe next year. I need somebody who can shape an axe handle from a persimmon sprout, shoe a horse with a hunk of car tire, who can make harness out of hay, wire, feed sacks, and shoe scraps, who planting time and harvest season will finish his 40-hour week by Tuesday noon, and then pain in from tractor back put in another 72 hours. So God made a farmer. God had to have somebody willing to ride the ruts at double speed to get the hay in ahead of the rain clouds and yet stop in midfield and race to help when he sees the first smoke from a neighbor's place. So God made a farmer. God said, I need somebody strong enough to clear trees and heave bales, yet gentle enough to yean lambs and wean pigs and tend the pink-combed pullets, who will stop his mower for an hour to splint the broken leg of a meadow lark. It had to be somebody who'd plow deep and straight and not cut corners, somebody to seed, weed, feed, breed, and rake, and disc, and plow, and plant, and tie the fleece, and strain the milk, and replenish the self-feeder, and finish a hard week's work with a five-mile drive to church. Somebody who'd bail a family together with the soft, strong bonds of sharing, who would laugh and then sigh and then reply with smiling eyes when his son says that he wants to spend his life doing what Dad does. So God made a farmer.
Well, that was pretty good. Thanks for letting me be self-serving today. And I want us not to forget our agricultural roots. Somebody sent me a newspaper article or something by David Brooks the other day called The Power of the Particular. Fascinating article. David Brooks and a few other people went to Europe to watch 6 or 7 Bruce Springsteen concerts all around Europe. He said the power of the crowd was huge. The crowds were themselves huge. Something surreal about being in a stadium in Spain of 65,000 people, all of them singing every word of the Bruce Springsteen song. Even I was born in the USA when none of them were. His point was the power of the particular, that somehow Bruce Springsteen kept going back to his Asbury Park or wherever it was in New Jersey roots. He was a working man's kind of guy. I mean, he went back to those roots, and the power of that particularity gave a sense of power, something to the music that is almost inexplicable, that Brooks said maybe isn't so much available in the current, maybe a lot of the eclectic stuff. I don't know the answer to that. I just know when I go back to my roots, I find it really powerful. Paul Harvey was a news commentator. He was conservative, the Midwestern values. But he was also kind and civil. makes me long for the days when radio personalities were of that sort of ilk, who would convey their point of view in ways that were respectful, kind, gracious of spirit, like Paul Harvey. So I want today to remind you of four areas that, just to be reminders of ways that you can not take things for granted. The first would be this July 4th week, the birth of our country. Let's not take for granted the gathering of those great men, Washington, Adams, Jefferson, Franklin, and more. Some of deep Christian commitment, though, let's be honest, not all of them were. But they were trying a noble experiment. Not take for granted their fear and the danger that they had. The Battle of Saratoga, I just read recently, the Battle of Saratoga, there in New York, was a turning point of the war. And I don't know one name of one young man who died in that. But I don't want to take their memory for granted. David McCullough's book, 1776, he talks about the Battle of Brooklyn, New York, when it was all this sort of flat marshland, and Washington's army early in the war was surrounded, almost surrounded by the British, and had them trapped on that island, and there was no way to get out except the wind came in and a fog that made it impossible for the British to see early in the morning Washington and his guys escape. The war would have been over. And you can go back through the creation of the Bill of Rights and the freedoms and the dream and the all people are created with inalienable rights, all of those things that we put into that, and the Constitution and the Supreme Court, and regardless of how you feel about Robert's decision, I, for one, am grateful for A, the Supreme Court, and B, that it appeared, at least to me, to be a judicial and not a political decision. Thank you for the mail I'll get already on that one, but that's all right. That's how it appeared to me. Let's don't take it for granted. This July 4th, we can acknowledge there are certain things we don't like about what's going on here and there and places in the country, but let's don't take for granted some amazingly positive things. Same with the second point I would encourage you. Let's not take for granted the environment we have around us, God's amazing creation, the weather. I get frustrated with news reports, weather reports, about damage that was done by Debbie. We, many of us, have been looking and hoping for about a foot of rain without a lot of wind, without a hurricane. We got a foot of rain. We didn't have a lot of wind. And almost all you see in the paper is this damage and that this and that. What a wonderful thing that's happened. Oh, it's nice to see the ponds filled up here. I'm incredibly grateful. It's clear and clear that one of the key issues in the future for Florida is water. Herrick Smith and others remind us, don't take water for granted. Cherish it. Appreciate it. You know, when you take things for granted, you live in a lack of appreciation of and cherishing of weather, your creation. Third, I would just invite you to not take for granted people around you. Maybe your spouse, maybe the people closest to you, maybe your children, your parents. Obviously, everybody can get on our nerves. You get on other people's nerves too. It's too easy, isn't it, to take for granted the people in our lives. The daily scripture email that I'm working on now are from the book of Philippians. The first or second or third verse is a greeting from Paul and Timothy that says, "Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ." And I suggested to you, as ever you wrote back, I'm going to try it. I suggested to you that whether you voice it or not, if you just think it about the people around you, grace and peace to you. The grace of God, the peace of Jesus to you. The person checking you out at the grocery line. The person checking you out at Home Depot. The person in front of you in line. The person who just cut in front of you in traffic. The peace of grace of God be to you. I invite you to do that. I've been trying to do that. It's been really rich and meaningful. I learned that one of my devotionals, another one, is appearing in the Upper Room devotional, the little booklet, I think for July 7th. And in there, they wrote to me and said, would you an accompanying blog that goes with this that people can interact with. And the point of that devotional was all of those names in the back of the letters of Paul, the Romans, and not everyone, but a lot of them have lots of names, people you don't know anything about, And I was just talking about how critically important those people were, even though we know Paul, but those were critically important people in the growth of the church. Don't take them for granted. Don't take each other for granted. And I said, in our own church, and I wrote, I said, those of you who read this blog will not know these names, won't know who they are, but I'll share with you three people. George Pridgen, Howard Miller, Rose Manuel. Rose's family is here. What a dear lady. I'll say a word about her in a minute. I said, you won't know George Pridgen and Howard Miller, but they began this part of this church with a sense of the deep love of God and a graciousness and a sense of caring for people, reaching out to the community that's been in the DNA and is affecting us forever, and partnering with Gainesville Community Ministries and that sort of thing. That's who we are because of George and Howard. They got it right in terms of the heart of the gospel is a sense of the love of God for other people, not a sense of judgment. And Rose Manuel, a lot of you don't know Rose, but a lot of you do. For 19 years, Rose has had a myeloma, a blood illness, bone marrow transplants more than once. And there's something about Rose, I don't know, but you could not get into her hospital room because of neighbors and family and friends who just love Rose to death, something about her. I don't know whether it's because she knew intuitively that because of her illness that her life had a certain time frame, but it caused her to appreciate everything and not take anything for granted. How about you? Do you find yourselves get caught up in the busyness of life and you take for granted this and that and this person and that person and you forget how incredibly fortunate you are, how grateful you are for the people in your life? The fourth thing I'd recommend to remind you of is your relationship with God. William Wilberforce, whom I spoke about last week, he talked about the great change in his life. He said it came when he had an awareness of having so long neglected the unspeakable mercies of God, my Savior. Of having so long neglected the unspeakable mercies of God, my Savior. And when he neglected them, he essentially didn't recognize them, didn't count them as value. He took them for granted as if they weren't there. I pray that everybody will come to a point in their life where they say, oh my word, God, thank you for all that you've done for me. I don't want ever again to take that for granted, that God's love and power will be poured out upon me, that you are there with me, that the presence of the Holy Spirit that I invite to be in me and empowering and strengthening, I don't want to take that for granted. Almost to the point of David, as he said in the Psalm, take not, O God, your Holy Spirit from me. Free me, protect me from ever taking your presence for granted. Or Jesus. Don't take it for granted. You'll miss out on the wisdom of his teaching, the wonder of his love, his example, his sacrifice on our behalf, his inviting us to come back into a loving relationship with God forever and ever. Wow. Receive that. So let me ask you these questions this day. Have you gotten so busy and caught up in life that you take some of the most important things in life for granted? The food you eat? The creation around you? The water you drink? Our country's freedoms, its dreams? The people around you? Some of them the closest to you? Jesus, your Savior. Let's start anew today. Would you? Would you pray with me? Almighty God, I acknowledge that I can get preoccupied with my computer, with thinking about the next thing. Quite honestly, neglect or take for granted Jan and all her wonder, or our kids, or my heritage. And the truth can be said of all of us here, God. May this be a new day where we sign up again with you. Then, God, I want to be on your team. I want to be a part of this wonderful thing you're about. Forgive me for taking your mercies, your grace for granted. May I be a part of extending your love to others. we see that so vividly in the sacrament of Holy Communion. The bread, which a farmer planted somewhere, sometime. Trains or trucks hauled the corn, the wheat. Somebody milled it on throughout. The grapes, the fruit of the vine. But more importantly, the presence of the living Christ. So we make our confession. We hear your words of forgiveness and your invitation to live for you. And we say yes. In the name of Christ we pray. Amen. There are only three stations for various reasons, but there are multiple plates and trays, so I invite some of you to help out in that and stand as we sing our closing hymn, Eternal Father Strong to Save. If you could help serve communion, that would be wonderful for you to do that. you take someone. Oh, before I, you can do that, but I want to remind you, next week, Jan Richardson, who grew up in this church, has a great ministry around the country, is going to be preaching next Sunday. Outstanding, and her husband Gary will bring the music. But Jan, if you've not seen her, you'll just be amazed. She'll sign the communion liturgy, which takes it to a whole new dimension. I hope you can be here next Sunday morning. Would you take somebody's hand now? Now may the wonderful love of God, the grace of our Lord Jesus, and the abiding presence of the Holy Spirit be with you now and forever. Amen.